And we're back. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the, believe it or not, second hour already of Living the Good Life, the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries out of Clearwater, Florida. And I'm here joined in the studio with Nan Watson. We're joined on the telephone by Megan Kramer. And I just want to take a quick minute to talk about a couple of other things with Beacon, one of which is the prayer ministry that we have, which actually Megan's mom, Betty, is a part of, and Shell and myself. We have people who will pray for your needs. And we encourage you, if you have a prayer need, please send it to us at prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. And either myself, Shell, Betty, one of us will pick the prayer up. We will write a prayer to go with it because we want everybody to be on the same page when it comes to praying for your needs. So we'll write that prayer. We'll send it out to our prayer team, and our prayer team will pray. And we get answers. And I would just encourage you, if you send us a prayer request, let us know when God answers your prayer so that we can put that. I stave all the praise reports. Every time somebody sends in something that's a praise report, we do keep that. One of the other ministries that we have is nursing home ministry, which will be next Sunday. We go to,
It seemed like we were just there.
I know. But we go to Palm Garden, and at the corner of McMullen Booth and Curly Road and Palm Harbor. And we minister there the first Sunday of every month. We sing. Either Nan or I actually gives a little teaching, little message. And it's just so wonderful. We had revival last month.
Oh, we did.
I mean, we had revival breaking out last month. So that was mind-blowing. Who knows what's going to happen this month.
Oh, I know.
So, of course, Nan, you're up next. You're up next week, so.
I know. I'm praying about what I'm supposed to be speaking about. So.
Okay. But, you know, if you get a chance to join us, it is such... You know, I was a little hesitant at first. I'd never done a nursing home ministry. And now it's like, this is so cool. And I love all those people in the nursing home. I just love them, and I can't wait to see them in heaven. I promised them all a dance, by the way, when we get to heaven. So, okay, well, we want to start this hour off with a song by Matthew West, which really fits into what we've been talking about. It's called Only Grace.
There is no guilt here, there is no shame, no pointing fingers, there is no blame. What happened yesterday has disappeared. The dirt has washed away, and now it's clear. There's only grace, there's only love, there's only mercy, and believe me, it's enough. Your sins are starting over now, under the sun, and you're stepping forward now, a new life has begun, your new life has begun, and there's only grace, and there's only love, there's only mercy, and believe me, it's enough. Nothing left now, and there's only grace.
mercy and believe me, it's enough, it's enough. Your sins are gone without a trace, and there's nothing left now, and there's only
certainly goes right along with what we've been talking about. No guilt, no finger pointing, no blaming. And, you know, that's how God looks at us. But sometimes, you know, we're guilting ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're blaming ourselves. We're pointing the fingers at ourselves, putting ourselves under condemnation. And I go back to these verses we ended the last hour with, you know, once for all, he went into the Holy of Holies and through his own blood obtained eternal salvation. And that just blows me away. Just to know that Jesus loved me enough to give his life. And Megan, you had mentioned this before. It wasn't just like a finger prick. You know, this was the worst form of execution known to the Romans. Because not only were you nailed to a cross, you were scourged, you were whipped before you went there. They tormented Jesus. They plucked out his beard. And if you've ever plucked, you and Nan probably haven't, but having plucked a few hairs out of my beard before, it's not very nice. It hurts. So, those are the things Jesus went through in order to gain our salvation. And I'm so thankful for that. I mean, Jesus, thank you for going through that for me so that I wouldn't have to.
I thought of earlier, you know, Christ gave his life for us, laid down his life. And at past times I've thought of, you know, you've heard, you know, I'd give my life for you. Well, I'd give my life for my son. If there was a circumstance that you'd do that, you know, car get ready to hit him, I'd shove him out of the way. And I would take it. I would do that for my parents. I'm going to be honest with you. The rest of that list going to be awfully short of who I do that for, to be very honest.
All right, thanks, Nan.
I said it would be very short. I'm not naming who's on the list. But yet Christ gave his life for all of us, and all of us have sinned, and some people have done some pretty bad stuff. You know, I mean, it's all sin in God's eyes. It's all sin.
Very good point.
It's all sin. It doesn't matter the degree. It's all sin. In humans' eyes, we see degrees of sin. But yet he gave his life for all these people who we weren't nice people because, you know, the sin in our lives, yet he gave it for everybody. I don't know that I could do that. To be human here, I don't know that I could do that.
Right, and it's one thing to die for somebody else, but it was everybody else. You know, it would be enough to take one man's or one woman's sins upon yourself. But Jesus took every sin from Eve in the garden to the end of time and took the punishment for those sins, which just boggles the mind. But he obtained salvation for every sin that we have ever and will ever commit. And that's why, and I know my human reaction when I sin, the last thing I want to do is go talk to Jesus about it. You know, it's like, maybe I just put some distance, some time in between this sin and when I go to talk to Jesus about it, it'll feel better. And that's not what God wants. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, he came walking in the garden looking for them. And he does the same with us. He invites us to come confess those sins because they're already paid for. It's not that he needs to forgive us as much as we need to appropriate his forgiveness in our lives, because that unforgiveness becomes a barrier, keeping us from really knowing God and walking with God. So it's not, you know, it's all been done on Jesus' side. We just have to accept it. So, Megan, any comments on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a season where that we need to stop allowing our sins to control us. And what I mean by that is, you know, Pastor Jim, you just said maybe I just need to take a little break from Jesus and maybe my sin will go away. And that's not the case, because the Holy Spirit will call you out on it over and over and over again until you surrender and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a season of, it's time to rise up. It's time to realize what is at stake here. And what I mean by that is that what's at stake here is eternal life. You know, do you want to live in hell where it's a fiery furnace, or do you want to live in beautiful, gorgeous heaven where you'll be taken care of to the nth degree? So it's time to really start listening to what we say, you know, here on the radio show, because there's nothing more truer than the Bible. There's nothing more true than what is being said here in the book of Hebrews. This is the real stuff. You know, the Lord Jesus did so much for us. And just like Nan said, I'm too weak of a human to imagine going through what he did, because, you know, with the way that he was beaten and the way that he was kicked and hit with thorns, and I don't know how that the guy carried his cross to the hill. I don't know how he does it. It's the strength of God. It was the strength of his Father. Mm-hmm. And that should resonate so strongly with us. And it just like you say, Pastor Jim, you just can't fathom it. It's just so hard in our human minds to fathom what Jesus did for us that day. And
right.
Waiting on us.
Right.
It excites me. I'm sorry, I got on a soapbox.
That's okay. I've done that many a time on this show. So
earlier, I thought you were preaching too. I wanted to say, "Ooh, go, Meg."
Hey, I will preach it, sister.
All right, you go.
Oh, we need more of that, you know.
We do need more.
We do. So, yeah, and I definitely agree with that. That, well, and in fact, we're going to get to that very, very thing here shortly with scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 9, you know, the writer of Hebrews talks about how Moses, starting in verse 19, how he took the commandments, you know, he took the scroll and everything and sprinkled it on the law and sprinkled it on the people, saying in verse 20, "This is the blood of the covenant that seals and ratifies the agreement which God ordained and commanded me to deliver to you." And in the same way, he sprinkled the tabernacle and the containers, all the utensils, with the blood. And verse 22, "In fact, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, neither release from sin and its guilt, nor cancellation of the merited punishment." And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified version. So I like that, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So something has to be shed there. And then, you know, he goes on to say, it was necessary for these earthly copies to be cleansed with blood. Well, then the heavenly copies, the true tabernacle, has to be cleansed with blood also. So, and I just want to read a couple more verses here before we get some comments. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 19, "For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with hands or a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. Nor did he enter into the heavenly sanctuary to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer over and over since the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, at the consummation of the ages, he has appeared and been publicly manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, just like I said, Hebrews is just full of great verses. Megan, Nan, comments on those verses?
Well, you know, to me, as you're reading, Pastor Jim, Hebrews to me is almost like a poem of what Jesus did for us and what that this new covenant stands for, because the words are, they're so beautiful. And I can't remember the last time that I read the book of Hebrews. It's been many, many years ago, but it's today, it's taken me a step back to really focus on what Jesus did for us that we don't have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, through my shortfalls and through my miscomings, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father to plead on my behalf for my stupidity. I mean, I just, you know, I'm going to be human because there are things that I do that are stupid. You know, I open my mouth and things slip out and that aren't Christ-like. And that's when in that moment that I can say, oh, Lord, why did I do that? Please forgive me. And I pray every day that his light be shown through me, because, you know, I've had just in the past couple of years a real wake-up call about this eternal life. Mm-hmm. Because before my son Grayson, it was just, you know, I'll call it, I was a humdrum Christian. You know, I did my part. I felt that I did, and I knew I was going to heaven. But, you know, looking back, I could have done a lot better for the Lord. I really could have done a lot better. And now that my son is in heaven waiting on me, I have a different perspective of life.
Right.
Because our life here is so short, and it's so important, guys, that we get our life straight.
Mm-hmm.
That we become right with the Lord. And, you know, Pastor Marsh is up here in Indiana, and we attended a baptism yesterday of a fellow radio show member, Cindy Logan. Her son was baptized, and her two grandkids.
Uh-huh.
And I've not experienced a baptism in the past couple of years, but I'll tell you what, guys, it is the most beautiful thing to be washed clean from your filth that you carry on you. It just brought me to tears. And it's just, this is such a beautiful thing, and I just really hope that today's show resonates with people on a new level.
Amen. Amen. There you go, preaching again, by the way. which is great.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Nan, any comments on those verses or what Megan said?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, Megan did it well.
She did very well. And I think what stands out to me in these couple of verses is in the last part of verse 26, but now, once for all, one time only, Jesus suffered one time. Once for all, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Some of the verses, and we may get to this, is just always kind of made me nervous, you know, in Hebrews. Well, I'll skip ahead. Chapter 10, verse 18 was one of those. Now, where there is absolute forgiveness and complete cancellation of the penalty of these things, there is no longer any offering to be made to atone for sin. And that verse I never quite got until I read it in this, just now, you know, just recently in this translation. And I understood that Jesus went there once for all. There's nothing we can add to his sacrifice. And I think that's something we as humans like to do. We like to add to Jesus' sacrifice. And just so you know, I'm not putting down any particular branches of the Christian faith, but penance just don't do it. Okay? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of knowing that Jesus did this once for all. There's no more sacrifice to be made. The sacrifice, if anything, would be the sacrifice of praise, thanking him for what he's done because of the blood of Jesus. We're alive. We're saved. That's what we can do. There's nothing. I can't fast away my sins. I can't pray away my sins except to ask God's forgiveness. I can't punish myself because my sin is still going to be there. The only sacrifice has already been made once for all. And there's nothing I can possibly add to it. And sometimes I think people are deceived into thinking, well, if I do this, I do that, then my sin will be gone. No, the only thing that takes away your sin is to confess it. Pastor Marsh's, 1 John 1:9, the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess right. our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what?
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the only, that's the sacrifice that we have to make. So, and again, wonderful lead into the next song, Overwhelmed by Big Daddy Weave.
Galaxies spinning a heavenly dance, oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and thundering noise, oh God, all that you are. Thank you.
Oh, great song. I love that song. And it's true. I mean, overwhelmed. I mean, I am overwhelmed by his mercy. You know, it's, what was that? There's an old hymn. I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I stand amazed at the presence. Well, never mind. It's an old Methodist song.
I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. Old Methodist song. But it's kind of that same thing that I think we need that awe, that overwhelmed feeling again. And I'm really pray that that's what, you know, as you read Hebrews, that you kind of get that. I know I did. I mean, I just overwhelmed again by God's mercy, by his grace, by the things that he's done for me. You know, I just stand back and think, how in the world? Then I think, huh, well, okay, you're not in the world. That's why. You know, how could you do this? How in the world could you love me? You know how rotten I am. And actually, one of the prayer books that I use was, they quoted out of Psalm 139, when I sit down, when I rise up, you know me inside and out. And that can be kind of scary to think that God knows us, actually, I think better than we know ourselves. And yet, still loves us. He already knows how many times in the future we're going to screw up till we get to heaven. And he still loves us. He knows the struggles we're going to go through. And he still loves us. And he's going to be there with us in the middle of those struggles. And he still loves us. I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. An amazing, great God. Wonderful in power and amazing in love.
Well, I've been listening to some teaching by a minister, and the subject actually right now happens to be on overwhelmed. But overwhelmed with what you were saying, overwhelmed with the goodness, you know, of the Lord. And to be overwhelmed in this particular way is not a bad thing. You know, we think of overwhelm as I'm overwhelmed at work, I'm overwhelmed with my relationship, I'm overwhelmed with my responsibilities. Yeah, I'm overwhelmed. That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a positive overwhelm of the realization that we're in the will.
Amen. You know, and I see overwhelmed as like almost like getting slain in the spirit. Ooh, yeah. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the presence of God rises up within you so much that like Ezekiel and Daniel, John, the apostle, you fall out because of it. You know, that's how overwhelming God can be. You know, and that's again, a wonderful thing. I just want to finish up chapter 9 of Hebrews and then pop in a couple, in a few minutes, in out of chapter 10 of Hebrews. But the last couple of verses of chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, starting in verse 27. For just as it is appointed and destined for all men to die once, and after this comes certain judgment, so Christ, having been offered once and once for all to bear as a burden the sins of many, will appear a second time when he returns to earth, not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly and confidently waiting for him. Oh, I love those. Well, I love all these scriptures, I guess, today. But, okay, just a couple of brief things, and I want to get some comments from Megan and Nan. But, okay, first of all, this verse right here, just as it is appointed and destined for all men to die once, and then the judgment, okay, that pretty much destroys reincarnation. We don't die once and get born again and then die and get born again and die and get born again. It's appointed for us to die.
What? Praise God.
Yeah. I mean, there's your refutation.
Praise God.
You know, it's not this endless cycle of having to work our way to nirvana. It's we die once and after that's the judgment. Okay? And for some people, that's going to be kind of scary. But then it says, because Christ being offered once for all, will appear a second time, and this kind of gets back to what you were saying earlier, Megan. You know, he's going to come back. Jesus is coming back, and not to die again, not to be born a baby and grow up and die on a cross again, but to bring salvation, the fullness of salvation. And I love this in the Amplified, to those who are eagerly and confidently waiting for him. Now, I think I've told this story before in the past. When I was a kid, these people that lived down the street, they were kind of very fundamentalist. But they didn't give the whole picture. They just talked about the world coming to an end in a, you know, flaming fire and all that stuff. And about the moon was going to turn red. And you know, sometimes when the moon rises, if there's a lot of dust in the air, it looks red. So, I mean, I would get terrified. I would think I was going to die and go to hell because they didn't tell me how to get saved. Okay. Praise God. After I did get saved, that was the first fear to leave. Shortly thereafter, the fear of lightning and tornadoes left. Mm. Praise God. I was like phobic of those things. And I was phobic of dying and going to hell without Jesus. You know, I think the end of the world was coming. So I was all terrified. And yet, you know, here it is, those who eagerly and confidently, okay? Mm. How many of us can say we're eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus or confidently? And yet, the writer of Hebrews says that's what we need to do. We need to be eager. We need to be confident because Jesus has already paid the price. He could come back today. He could come back in 10 years. And, you know, in that span of time, my sins are all still paid for. So I can eagerly await his coming. I can be confident at his coming because he loves me. He's already taken my sins away. Praise God. So comments on those two verses, Megan or Nan?
Oh, go ahead, Megan.
No, Nan, you go right ahead, sweetie.
I wanted to read a little notation out of the study Bible I have. It's regarding verse 27. I think it's kind of pretty cool here. Judgment is not a popular theme today, but the Bible teaches that judgment is coming. Do you look forward to Christ's return, or do you see it as a threat? As sure as death itself, judgment awaits. At God's judgment, there will be no higher court to appeal should the verdict not be of your liking. If you hope for a favorable verdict in the court, put your hope entirely on Jesus. Pray today, now if you haven't done it before, for the freedom and pardon Jesus has won for you. Then rejoice that God's judgment of you will be based on the perfect life of his son, Jesus. After that, tell others, for they may face an unfavorable judgment without Jesus. I thought that was pretty cool.
Amen. Amen. And we are definitely going to do that because I don't like to leave a show, you know, without giving people the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior. So we are definitely going to do that here shortly. So Megan, comments on?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if we're not eager and if we're not looking forward to the day that the trumpet sounds, then we need to get right with our walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that means you have some idol blocking you from the Lord, from your chosen life, where that the Lord wants you. And, you know, whatever those may be, you need to humbly and, you know, pure of heart, ask for forgiveness of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Because that day of judgment is coming, and I am looking forward to it because, you know, it's going to be a glorious day. I'm not fearful of the judgment because, you know, I pray to this point that I have asked for forgiveness of all of my sins. And, you know, there's days when I'm driving in the car and I think, you know, what would I do? And my son asked me about this too. What do we do when the stairs, you know, descend out of the clouds? And it's like, you know what, buddy? We run for those stairs. We don't look back. We just run. And we talk about it now as a family that we hope that the return of Jesus comes while we're all still here so that we can all experience that together, that excitement of hearing that trumpet sound and your heart, you know, hits the ground. And it's like, it's happening. And I mean, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. It's just the magnitude of it. It's unfathomable. I can't even fathom it.
Amen. I'm sitting here, getting chills. Just thinking about it. I mean, because that was, like I said, that was the first fear that left me, was that fear of judgment. Mm-hmm. And, whether we're here for the tribulation or not, God's still going to be with us. He's still going to be protecting us. And,
right.
When that trumpet sounds, that last trumpet, I am so ready. I am, so ready to go up. And I agree. I mean, I don't know that my current loved ones on the earth are still all going to be here. But even if they're not, darn it, they get to beat me there, according to Paul, because the dead in Christ rise first. So they'll get there before me. But, yeah, what a glorious thing to think about, that, Jesus is going to come back. And the time is, I honestly believe the time is very short for that.
I do, too.
I think the world situation as it is, it's like we're just teetering on.
Yeah.
We're just teetering on the edge of what's going to necessitate the rise of the Antichrist.
I think often, yes, things are getting really set up great for the Antichrist. Look at all of us running around with our smartphones that have GPSs on them. You can find us. I re-upped my contract, and they had a thing that you could pay for. It got like dirt cheap, and it can plug into your car, and it can see if electronic things, like as if running the test that they run. But one thing I can do with that is with that transponder on it, I can be in a parking lot, and I'm supposed to be able to find where my car is. Look at all the cameras that are all over the place, catching people speeding through lights. There's a bigger picture and plan with all of those. When they had the Republican Party here and they spent all that money putting up those cameras and they decided to leave them up, whether government entities are using them right now, some are saying we don't want to use them, they're still there. And it can help if they're finding it, looking for someone, you can be found.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything's come to such a convenience for us with some of the stuff. But if I wasn't grounded and know Jesus Christ is my Savior and know that I'm okay, it would scare me.
Yeah. No,
it would scare
me
to realize how Big Brother can look in on me.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the glorious thing is we need to look past that. I mean, people tend to focus on, and it's almost like scare tactics. Oh, the Antichrist, the boogeyman, Oh, all the judgments and, the trumpets and the vials and all that. I think we need a little more focus on Jesus. And Megan, what you were saying is so overwhelming, so glorious about Jesus coming back. I mean, it's him coming back, for heaven's sakes. That's what we need to really keep our focus on, is that it's Jesus coming back. That's the glorious part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And again, it says we're appointed to die once. And so Jesus, having offered once for all to bear as a burden the sins of many. Okay? Jesus already bore our sins. We don't have to bear them any longer. And then he takes it a step further over in chapter 10, which is where I just want to touch on for just a moment or two. I like verse 10, and then I'm going to read, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Will be our final scriptures for the day, I believe. But in Hebrews 10:10, and in accordance with this will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been sanctified, that is, set apart as holy for God and his purposes, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, once for all. Every priest stands at his altar of service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifices over and over, which are never able to strip away sins that envelop and cover us. Whereas Christ, having offered the one sacrifice, the all-sufficient sacrifice of himself for sins for all time, sat down, signifying the completion of atonement for sin, at the right hand of God, the position of honor, waiting for that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever and completely cleansed those who are being sanctified, bringing each believer to spiritual completion and maturity. So again, there's kind of a double thing going on there. We are, in verse 10, it says we are sanctified. Verse 14 says we're being sanctified. So God sees us as already made holy, being already set apart, but on earth, we're being set apart. Okay, that's that process. And I like this, being sanctified. The little note here in the Amplified, bringing each believer to spiritual completion and maturity. It's growing up in Jesus. And, you know, but even in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever. That's a done thing. We're in Jesus, perfect forever, those who are being sanctified. So before we comment on that, I just want to have our last song, which is one of my favorites, East to West by Casting Crowns.
Forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far? How far the east is from the west. I don't have to see the man I've been rising up in me again.
Again, I mean, that song kind of sums up everything that we've talked about today. And I really just feel like now is a good time to pray. So, and like all our listeners, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to ask him into your heart. Or maybe you have. Maybe you used to walk with Jesus. And something happened to change that. Maybe, who knows? It doesn't really matter, but something happened, and for whatever reason, you've been out of fellowship with God. I just want to invite you back to fellowship with God, because he loves you. That's what we've talked about today. Jesus paid the price once for all. You can't add anything to it. He paid the price for your sins. And it's a, you know, that's once for all. And walking with him is a lifetime, in fact, an eternal experience. So if you would please, I just want to pray with everybody that, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we ask, Lord God, that you would put it into the hearts of those who maybe don't know you to find you. Father, you promise that if we look for you, we'll find you. If we search for you with all our hearts. And I pray, Lord, for our listeners who don't know you, who've never known your love, that you would just put such a burning desire in their hearts to know you, that they would seek you, Lord, with all their hearts, and that they would find you, Jesus. And Father, I lift up those who maybe used to walk with you and for whatever reason have walked away. Lord, some of us, I know on the radio team, have done that. I've done that. And Lord, I thank you that you have always drawn me back to yourself. And I pray, Lord God, for those of our listeners who may be far from you or feeling like they're far from you, that you would just pour forth your spirit upon them and move upon them, Lord, that they would come back to you fully, not afraid, not coming out of fear, but drawn by your love, drawn back to you by your mercy, drawn back to you by your grace, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you would just send forth your Holy Spirit to touch every listener, that whatever need they have, Father, in the name of Jesus, whether it's salvation, whether it's to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whether it's healing, deliverance, whether there are financial needs, Father, we lift up our listeners to you. And we ask you, Lord, to work in all of their lives, to bless them, to bless them, to bring them into a covenant relationship with you through Jesus, that they may experience the blessings of the new covenant and know for certain that they are in the will. Lord, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, woo. And I think that really kind of sums up those last scriptures about, you know, we are, because we're in Jesus, we're already sanctified, we're made perfect, but it's a process. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, don't give up. Don't give up if maybe things haven't been going your way. Because we're still on earth, and this is a broken world. Now, that's going to change when Jesus comes back, but it's a broken world. We experience loss. We experience, natural disasters, whatever, because this is a fallen world. It's a broken world. But when Jesus comes back, that'll all be gone. Mm-hmm. And don't believe the lie that, you know, it's God punishing you or whatever, because God loves you and he wants to know you. Here I go preaching again. I guess okay. I can. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to know each one of you no matter what. And I just feel like there's somebody out there who's walked away because of something that's happened, something that's happened in your life. And I don't know what that is, but for whatever reason, you've been mad at God for a long time. And God loves you. God loves you. And what happened was not God's fault. It was the devil's fault. And God can turn this around for your good. I'm just confessing Romans 8:28 over whoever this person is, that God will use this for your good when you come back to him. He'll turn this around. In the Old Testament, the phrase was, I'll turn your captivity around and bless you. So he'll restore what the devil has stolen. And we just confess, again, Romans 8:28 over this person, whoever it is, we speak it to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That God will turn this around for you, because all things work together for your good if you love God. Praise God. Any final comments from Nan, Megan?
Ooh. Go ahead, Nanners.
Well, what comes to my mind is what was shared in that last song. And he cast the sins as far as the east from the west. And that's something that's staying in my mind from this radio show today. You know, the reminder of that, you know, that he does throw, you know, put them as far as east from west, and never more to come back, because east and west is endless, you know. Mm-hmm. North and south, there's a point. East and west is endless, you know. And just to remind everybody that, you know, we're in the will. I mean, we can take a very godly pride and say, I'm in the will. And people can be in the will. Whoever wants to be in the will can be in the will, you know, just by accepting Jesus as their Savior, which you prayed with them earlier. But just a reminder of whose we are. We belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the will.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and Pastor Jim, I have to agree, there's been a heaviness on my spirit through the radio show about someone that either is listening now or is going to listen to the show, that they have taken a step back. And, you know, there's nothing to fear when being under the wings of the Lord. And, you know, no matter your circumstance, no matter what has happened or what you've done, there's nothing too small or too great to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said earlier, it's time for us to rise up and proclaim that we are the chosen ones of the kingdom. And it's time for us to start living that life. It's time for us to start being alive instead of just living here, you know, day to day, moment to moment, wondering, oh, you know, what's tomorrow going to be like? No, we need to thrive. We need to be alive. It's time to ignite our spirit with the Holy Spirit. It's time to start a new walk, because we are in the end times. And, you know, you look around and you see it. I don't have to say what we're seeing. We are seeing it. And it's time to get serious. It's time to take our salvation seriously, because that will that we've been talking about through the whole entire show, it is true. And I'm holding on to that every day of my life. No matter what happens, I have that to hold on to.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is incredibly true. And thank you for confirming what I was feeling. That's because I was feeling that too.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And see, look at us. We're separated by what, 1,200 miles? And the Holy Ghost works in both spots. So that's the one.
Amen.
That just shows you how great God is, you know? But yeah, it's so important that we just realize that what time we have here, however much more time that is, we do need to get serious. I need to get serious. I need to get more serious. And stop, you know, we just don't have a lot of time. And, you know, on the one level, of course, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, and we don't know when he's going to come for us, you know. And, you know, just remembering what we talked about today in Hebrews, that under the new covenant, made on better promises, every promise of God is yes, and to which we can add the amen. Wherever you find a promise in the Bible, in Jesus, it is yes. So if you need something from God, he'll give it to you in Jesus. We just need to add the so be it. and trust him for the answer. Sometimes it may not come in our in the timing we want. It might not come in the way that we want, but it will come. So I want to thank my partners here today, Nan Watson and Megan Kramer out of Indiana. This is Jim Ellsbury. I'm Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you'll tune in every week at the same time for Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida.